take a moment. Isn't it fantastic being here? It is, seriously, it is wonderful being here in God's house with God's family, and that I get to do my faith journey with you is really such a gift to me. But before I go even into our message this morning, I do want to pick up from last week's message. Last week I got to land the series, and this week I'm starting our new series, and it looks like I get to land and start series, and I'm thinking somewhere I want to be in the in-between there. But last week as I landed the series, this is what we do. We spoke about the blessings of generosity, how God is calling us as a church to live generous lives. And in living a life of generosity, there's so much blessing and so much joy that comes to us. And I spoke about the different kinds of giving there. And I spoke about the first way we give is strategic giving, where we give intentionally. It's planned, prayerful giving. It's where we take what is actually belongs to God. That is our 10%. And that is what we give first as we strive to keep God first and at the center of our lives. And then I went on to speak into the second way that we give, and that is we give spontaneously. We see the needs around us and we give to that. And so there have been people that have been giving you in a life group. You hear of somebody who's not able to pay rent, and the life group gets together, they chip in, they pray and they give, because we respond spontaneously. But then the third level of giving I spoke about was where we give sacrificially, and we looked at the woman with the tumor. And I was praying into that, and I knew that God is calling us as a church to be generous in spontaneous and in sacrificial giving. And that got me thinking about what are the worthy needs that you and I can be involved in giving in this way. And I thought, you know what? Better way to store up treasures in heaven than to sponsor a teenager or a kid that we would love to get to the Epic Camp. Really. Because when you and I give, when we give spontaneously, when we give sacrificially, what we are essentially doing is that we are sowing into something that has an eternal impact. You and I, through our giving, through our investing, we get to store up treasures in heaven. And so I want to encourage us as a church, because I believe that God is calling us as a church to live generously, seriously, to really step up in the area of our generosity, not live with our eyes to the ground, but that we would be alert to what is happening in our world and to follow the principle of how can we bless generously and in a spontaneous way and also in a sacrificial way. So we want to give you as a church an opportunity to sow into some of these needs spontaneously. Maybe for some of you, you're going to say, oh, this is going to be sacrificial. I want to encourage you, because we saw what breaks the cycle. That scarcity cycle is the cycle of abundance, where God, I've given to you first. Now I'm going to create space in my world to be generous. And so next week, what we're going to do is we're going to be taking up a special offering, and we're inviting you. You get to be part of this, where you can get to store up treasure in heaven. And we're going to be taking up a special offering for our Elevate Conference, for kids to go to Elevate Conference and to our Epic Camp. There are children who want to go, but there are children who do not have the financial means to go there. So we're going to invite you to be part of that. It's going to be a special offering. So do come prepared to give next week. So are you ready for our series? Are you ready for our series? This is what you asked. You asked for it. This is the question. So we start our new series, You Asked For It. And some of you, you know where I'm going. And for others who are perhaps new on your journey with Edge Church, you're probably thinking, what on earth is this series all about? Several months ago, we asked people what they were struggling with on their faith journey. And I love the honesty of our congregation. And so we preached. These questions came into us. We picked up the common threads around there. And we preached into some of the questions that you asked. And so this morning, that's what I'm going to do. Some of the questions we preached into. So how do I break a bad habit? Today, I want to deal with the question that you asked for. So Barbie, why do I struggle with prayer? Come on, let's see. It's an area that many, many, many followers of Jesus struggle with. Why do I struggle with prayer? The questions that we ask, let me tell you something, is when Jesus' disciples and people came to him, they asked questions. And I love this about Jesus. He never shushed them away and said, don't bother me. He would take these questions and so much of the stories and the parables and his sermons that he preached into these questions, like the rich young ruler, what must I do to receive eternal life. And Jesus, it was an opportunity to engage. And he was always relevant and so in tune with where people were at. So the question you ask for it, why do I struggle with prayer? Is questions that came in, why bother praying if everything has already been pre-planned and pre-ordained by God? Why pray, Barbie, when God doesn't answer my prayer? How do I pray? Why do I always feel too bad to pray? Why is it that I think that God can't hear me? And for others, some of it came as a statement, Barbie, I'm just too busy to pray. Or actually, I find prayer boring. I'm just not interested. I don't have time to pray. I'm too busy. I'm too busy building a career, or I'm either too distracted. You know, often we're restless because there's distractions in our life. And so we're too busy to pray because we're distracted with the TV, or we're too busy to pray because we're distracted with social media. Who of you, when you open your eyes in the morning, the first thing you grab for is your... I never even said it. I was going to say Bible, but you're right, your phone. My hand is up. First thing when you open your eyes, you grab your phone. Anybody else? Is anybody going to be honest with me? Thank you for your honesty. I do. And you know, the first place I go to the Guardian News because I've got the app. And then I go check because I've been following Hurricane Irma and I've discovered that Hurricane Jose is on the tails, and that's the first thing. And what's happening with Brexit and what's happening in our country? I go to News 24 and that's the first thing I do. And so we're so distracted. We're so busy with TV and sports and entertainment and building our lives. And these are the things that keep us from prayer and why we struggle in the area of prayer. Come on. So many of us do struggle in the area of prayer. And don't think that just because we are in the church and work for the church that we don't struggle with it. I know of ministers, and I myself, over the many years, have struggled in this area of prayer. So Barbie, I know that prayer is important. Why do I struggle with it? Honestly, this is a topic that's very, very, very close to me because I've struggled in this area of my life as a follower of Jesus over the years. So why do I struggle to pray? I think that the best way for us to explore this question is actually to start by asking another question. Why do we need to pray? Before we go to the how and the what, let's allow ourselves to sit with the question, why do we need to pray? You see, if you and I don't get the why, then we're going to always struggle with the how and the what. Always. So I think this is a good starting place for us. Why do we struggle to pray? You see, when you read the Gospel of Luke, now there are three Gospel accounts. John is actually written in a different way. When you read the Gospel of Luke, you will see there are more descriptions of Jesus in prayer than all the other Gospels combined. In Matthew, the writer is actually talking about and laying an emphasis on the kingship of Jesus Christ. And in the book of Mark, the author there is laying an emphasis on the servanthood of Jesus Christ. But in the book of Luke, what the author is doing here is actually highlighting, and he picks it up through the eyes of disciples, because this is an eyewitness account. He is picking up to show you the humanity of Jesus Christ. And you pick this up in the different situations and scenarios that Jesus prayed into. Luke is trying to show the humanity of Christ. And when the first disciples, these were the followers of Jesus Christ, when they looked at Jesus, when they saw how he was living out his life on this journey, they were with him just for 3 years, by the way, how he was living out his life, they sensed that there was something more and that there was something different about him. They had a sense, they had the suspicion that Jesus drew his strength from a source outside of himself. How do we know that? Well, we'll go to the gospel accounts to do that. And the writer of the Gospel of Luke gives us a glimpse of this when he talks about Jesus' humanity, when he sees Jesus praying in all kinds of situations. He shows when Jesus is praying when he's full of joy. In another account, he shows you a picture of Jesus praying when he's in the Garden of Gethsemane, and he's dealing with that deep sense of loss, that deep sense of pain, those feelings of abandonment as he has to wrestle with fulfilling the will of his Father. He prays when there are others around him. He prays when he's alone. He prays on the Mount of Transfiguration with his three close disciples, Peter, James, and John, and before their eyes, he's transfigured. He prays actually when he's on the plains, in the ordinary moments of life. In fact, he prays when he goes up to a mountain and he goes and engages his Father and says, Father, you've told me that I've got to choose 12. Who are these 12? And so he goes and he connects with his Father and he goes and inquires of his Father, who are these 12? All of this that Luke, the gospel writer, is trying to show us is how Jesus is setting an example, how in life we need God's help. Why do we pray? It's because you and I cannot do our faith journey on our own. We cannot do it by sheer will power alone. We cannot do it by sheer grit alone. If I just bite my teeth and hold on tight, that I'm going to be able to come to journey through life and to live it according to what is the very purpose of God, is that we live life to the full. We are not going to. In fact, we will be in such pain and agony as we wrestle with ourselves. And Jesus was saying there's a better way of doing life. He was saying you cannot do this life on your own. He wanted them to see that they would not be able to do their Christian journey without this thing called prayer. You and I can't. So why do I struggle with prayer? Maybe that is the starting place of that. So Jesus, I said yes to following you, but I'm struggling. I'm not getting into that place that you invited me. So in Luke's gospel, you know what you and I read? If you go and read it, if you haven't read the gospel account of Matthew, Luke, and Matthew, Mark, and Luke, go and read it. And you'll pick up in Luke's account that actually Jesus prays a lot. But hang on, isn't he the Son of God? Surely he knows everything. Why would he need to go and consult his Father on who to choose? He's God after all. Well, he is fully God, but at the same time, he's fully man. Completely, completely human. And so Jesus prays a lot. And the disciples saw this, and they had the sense that Jesus was drawing his sense of groundedness and depth and power to live his life, to do his Father's will. All of this was drawn from his prayer life, a source outside of himself. They knew this is what made him special. There were a whole lot of other religious people around him, but they knew that there was something about this man that was unlike all the other religious people. They knew, they had a sense that somehow, he was drawing it from somewhere. Where was it? They became so aware that he was connected to some deep place, to a power outside of this world, and the disciples wanted this. So they go to Jesus. And Luke tells us of this account in chapter 11 and verse 1. They go to Jesus, and this is what it says. Once Jesus was in a certain place praying, as he finished, one of his disciples came to him and said, Lord, teach us to pray, just as John taught his disciples. Are you struggling with prayer? Are you struggling to understand why we need to pray? Can I suggest to you and propose that maybe you start here, Lord, teach me to pray? And we're going to unpack that. Teach me to pray. You know what the interesting thing is? These men that came to Jesus, these were Jewish men. They knew about prayer. Prayer would have been part of their life growing up. They would have understood Deuteronomy, say these things to your children. They would have understood about the ritual of prayer. They knew that. But they knew that what they had been exposed to as Jewish men and what they were seeing Jesus living out the practice of prayer and how it was a priority of his life and that he prayed a lot, there was something different here. And they wanted to know about, there was the religion of prayer in their life, but they knew that Jesus was showing something more. They wanted what he had, not just to do the miracles, not just to live with great power to do the miraculous, but that they would have the depth and the graciousness of soul. The depth, listen to it, and the graciousness of soul. So that when other people look at our lives, they say, oh, what is it about you as the follower of Jesus? That comes from that place of prayer. They saw how Jesus interacted with his enemies. You know, it could have been so easy for him to have crushed them. You know, when you want to take somebody's face and wipe it in the dirt, anybody out there? You want to just embarrass them because they humiliated you. Anybody? He could have done that, but he chose not to do that. When Jesus was able to show loving kindness and forgiveness, how Jesus, when he came into a room and the whole atmosphere changed, when at last have you come into a room and the atmosphere changed and it becomes sweeter, and gracious, and loving. That was standard, how you could be so calm and kind and so gracious, so forgiving, so loving, both toward the rich and the poor, to the marginalized, to the not-sos of the world that Paul talks about in Corinthians. They began to see in Jesus that prayer is the place where he drew his strength from God so that he could live this life. And you know what? They wanted that. So they said, teach us how to pray. There's something going on. Yeah, I saw Jesus was connected to a deep source. How was he connected? It was through prayer. It was through prayer that he was connecting through his Father. They saw that Jesus prioritized prayer in his life. This was so important to the Son of God, that he made time. He would draw aside. He would go. He'd say, you carry on here, but I need to go. I need to go and connect with my Father. So friends, why do we pray? Can I say this? Because we need God's help and strength to do this journey as a follower of Jesus Christ. We need God's help. We cannot do it. We cannot think that we can simply live from Sunday to Sunday. We can't think that we can simply live from maybe reading just a scripture verse. What's not going to help us is by maybe being part of a group, but we are not building that life and culture and the priority of prayer in our lives. They realize that they need a God, and we need God to help us through the journey of life. We can't do this journey in our own strength. We can't face the challenges. Anybody having challenges out there? We can't face the disappointments. Who's dealing with disappointments right now? We can't face the boredom of your own Christian walk. Anybody sometimes get bored in their Christian? You get bored with praying. You get bored with reading the Bible. Sometimes you get bored sitting in church. I'm going to talk into how we deal with that. We can't do that in our own strength. We can't deal with the hurt in our own strength. We need a source beyond ourselves to give us the power and the strength to sustain us on this journey. When we get hurt, that we've lent in the place of prayer to be able to extend forgiveness, we need God in our lives, and we connect with God through prayer. Prayer connects us to God. We can't do this journey by self-will alone. Not by sheer strength and determination alone. We can't sustain ourselves on our own. We need something beyond ourselves, and we need God, and that's why we need prayer. It's not just about doing a ritual. Oh, and if you do these things and tick it off my list, it is our very oxygen, it is the very lifeline, that if you disconnect it from that, you know inside that actually it's not good. And then you deal with the guilt and the shame and the condemnation and the regrets, because you know that is not. It says, I've come to give you life and life to the full. But for so many of us, we're not living that way because we're struggling in the area of prayer, in the area, and prayer is the thing that connects us to God. It is our oxygen, our very lifeline. We need God, and that's why we pray. I want to take a moment to describe what prayer is. I've looked at why we need to pray. So we can't do this faith journey without that deep connection. But what is prayer? I've discovered something on my journey, my struggle with prayer. I've really struggled with prayer. I've struggled to talk to God who's not there. I've struggled that I was never good enough. I struggled to believe that God loved me. I struggled to even say the words, Father. I've struggled, God, how can you love me when I know that I'm not living a life that is pleasing to you? And so I've struggled, but I've discovered something about prayer that has helped me so much in my research, in my reading, on my own journey with a spiritual director, through a mentor who actually doesn't even know me, but I've read some of his stuff. And prayer is this. I want you to listen up. Prayer is lifting mind and heart to God. Are you struggling with prayer right now? Can I say that again? Prayer is lifting your mind, what is on your mind, and what is in your heart to God. That is what prayer. It is a simple definition, but I need to say this. It sounds simple, but the truth of the matter is that as human beings, we struggle to get honest with God. We do, even though he knows everything about us and he knows our thoughts and our mind, but we still struggle to get honest with God because we feel that we can only come to God with certain pure, holy thoughts. And when our feelings is warm and fuzzy, or we can only come if there is like a desire. And who has a desire? It's in flux. It's ebb and flow when it comes to our desire. And we feel that's the only way we can come to God. Or we think that God is, prayer is telling God what we think he wants to hear. Yeah. Do you know that? Or prayers, often they're very long lists that we bring. We bring up requests, we bring up petition. And by the way, he wants you to do that. I'm going to show you in Philippians in a moment. He wants to, because God wants to hear your request. And so we bring it to God, and then in prayer, we nochal tell God how to answer it. We do. So here's my request, God, but I want you to answer it like that. Father, you know about my daughter who is actually in a very unhealthy relationship. So I'm bringing that to you. But God, actually, will you send a nice little Christian boy across the path? It's like, seriously? So we want to help God in this area in how he should answer our prayers. And we think prayer is bringing our list to God. We think prayer is telling God what we think that he wants to hear. And so can I say this? What prayer is? Lifting to God what is on your mind and what is in your heart. You tell God what is on your mind. Tell God what is worrying you. Tell God about that conversation that wasn't so lekker. And now you're feeling fraught. Or you did something that was inappropriate. And now you're feeling the guilt of that. Tell God about that child of yours that you're struggling with. Tell God about that porn site that you opened last night. Tell God about how you maxed out your credit card. Tell God about those lustful thoughts. Tell God the issues that's pressing on your mind. Tell God those toxic thoughts are there about that person that if you could get up and walk across the room, you'll strangle the living daylights out of them. Or maybe they're not in this room and they could be at home. But tell God what's on your mind when you lie awake. So honestly, so often our thoughts, when I spoke about, we can be sitting here and just feeling like bored. Worship's boring. You're listless. You're tired. You're bored. Prayer is telling God those things, bringing it, lifting it. And then prayer is lifting to God what is in your heart. God, you know that I'm anxious about tomorrow. I'm going to have to go speak to my boss. God, you know that I'm fearful about attempting this project. What if I fail? God, you know how I'm struggling to have that difficult conversation with my child. What if they reject me? Tell God. Tell God about the jealousy. Tell God about that anger. Tell God about the frustration. Tell God about the boredom on your spiritual journey. Tell God about it. Tell him what's in your heart. You know what Jesus said? I love this. You know what children are like? You know they're lekker honest. Do you know what the Bible tells us when it comes to prayer? When we talk about lifting what's on our mind and in our heart to God, Jesus said we must come as little children. Come as little children to enter the kingdom of heaven. Children are honest. Children don't put on a pretense. I'll never forget, Pedro was greeting at the door one day after a service, and our edge kids had a dress up where they had to wear their heroes, and one of the little boys had on his Superman little outfit, and Pedro greeted mum and greeted the little boy, and Pedro said to the little boy, oh, I must get myself a Superman outfit, and the little kid looked up at Pedro and says, you must get a Shrek outfit. You fat, he told him. The mother just about died and says, shh, don't be rude. But actually, that wasn't being rude. That was just being honest. And we tell the kids what they think they should be feeling. Mom, I'm being bullied at school. No, my darling, you're not being bullied. I'm being bullied at school. That's children. Come as little children. Children are always honest in showing their feelings. They'll tell you straight out that I don't like you. I don't want to talk to you. Can I say this? God can cope with your honesty and your crazy, crazy, crazy thinking. Prayer is, what is prayer? It is lifting what's on your mind and lifting what's in your heart. As I said to you, this is what Philippians says in chapter 4 and verse 6. Don't worry about anything. Instead, pray about everything. everything, whatever is in your mind, whatever is in your heart, tell God what you need and then thank Him for all He has done. There's a beautiful little way we can pray right there in Philippians chapter 4. Tell God everything, but don't forget to give thanks. Don't forget to give thanks. Don't forget to become aware of how good God is. You may be sitting here thinking, oh my gosh, my life is so miserable. I've got nothing to be thankful about. How about giving thanks to God that you're still breathing? Or maybe for some of you saying, I actually wish I wasn't breathing right now. Give thanks to God for that kid. God wants to hear your requests. He wants to hear about your needs. He wants to hear about your struggles. He wants to know that, God, I'm bored in church, tired of my life group. And will you then thank Him? Because He knows what is best for you. Prayer is lifting your mind and your heart to God. So now I want us to move into the area of how we pray. You see, they saw Jesus do this. They saw Jesus, how He lifted His mind and His heart when He went into the Garden of Gethsemane. He told His Father what was in His mind. He expressed that feelings of loss and abandonment that was going in His heart. He said, I want to know how you did that. Show us how you connected with your Father. Do you know, I know that that is the heart. There's not a believer, a follower of Jesus says, I don't want to know about prayer. Seriously, I promise you. That is such a real struggle for most followers of Jesus Christ. It's the one thing where they say, oh, if I could just get this, if I could just have the discipline and build a sustainable life of prayer, which we do through our practice and our rituals and our disciplines, all of that. I know that this is how you want it. I know that you want to thrive as a follower of Jesus Christ. I know that you want to, that you feel, God, I'm living out my purpose, that I am when I go into a room, the room changes, that I am salt, the God flavors, the God colors of our will. And that all of that comes from a place of prayer, connection with God. When God can, when you can be with God and you can say, hey, that's an area that you need to pay attention to. Can I say this? You and I need prayer. You and I need prayer. It's not God who needs prayer. We need prayer. And prayer is not about God changing. Prayer is about us changing. Changing what's in our mind. Those toxic thoughts, those thoughts of bitterness, those thoughts of craziness. What's in our heart? Offense. We need to pray, not because God needs it, but because we need it. Because you see, if we do not pray, we will not have the grounding. We will not have the steadiness. We will not have the depth. We will not have the sustainability and ongoing sustainability to endure and to persevere, as Paul calls us to persevere on our faith journey. So how do we pray? Number one, you pray for yourself. Number two, you pray for others. And you see that lived out. That's the practice of our church. We see this lived out in life groups. We pray for ourselves. That's your personal devotional life. It's in that place of your personal devotional life that there's an intimacy and you're building that relationship with God. So listen how Jesus teaches them when the disciples come to Him and say, teach us to pray. And the first thing He says, our Father. First thing. That's what He says. The first thing, He addresses the issue of our Father. He addresses the issue of the identity. When you pray, the first thing is, I'm going to focus, and that's the word I want to focus on in Luke 11, Father. When God looks upon you, when you come into that place of prayer, He doesn't see this naughty little child. He sees this child that He loves. He sees this child, the original identity and blessing upon that child. He sees you as His son, as your and daughter. And the basis of all prayer is that you're praying to your Father. It's prayer that puts us in touch with our Father, because it's in that place of prayer where we allow ourselves to be open to the voice of God that comes to you, whether it's in an audible way or just quietly, or you're reminded, or you've read it in scripture, or somebody's saying, if you open yourself enough to hear, and hopefully if you don't hear in that in another time, you are my loved one. You are my precious one. You're on my thoughts day and night, in my thoughts and in my heart. Seriously, can I say this as followers of Jesus Christ? These are the most important words you and I will ever hear. And we hear those words, not from a pulpit on a Sunday, not from a book that you've read. You hear those words in that place of prayer. Where in that place of prayer, as you come to your Father, you open yourself enough to hear that you are my love. I love you. This is what we are meant to do when we go into prayer. That's the essence of prayer. We often think we've got to go tell God how to fix people up, and we've got to tell God how to run the world, and we've got to tell God about our preferences in life, and we've got to tell God about this, and we struggle with this. And all God is saying, oh my gosh, I want you to come into prayer because I want you to open yourself up enough so that you can hear my voice. Daniel, Matthew, Bahabi, I love you. That grounds you on your faith journey. That is what gives you identity. That's what gives you meaning. That's what gives you substantiality in life. When you feel you're not worth it, you are not enough. That is enough. What God says about you. And then can I say that prayer is a mutual thing? That in prayer, I get to go and tell my Father that I love him. I don't always understand, but I love him. He tells me that he loves me, and I can get to say that I love him, and I can get to thank him. And then secondly, we pray for others. How? Like Jesus did in John chapter 17. When he prayed for his disciples, he prays for the world, and he prays for those to come. God calls us as the church of Jesus Christ. That prayer is not just to be about ourselves and our little family. That as we go on our journey, that we get to pray for our world. And that's why every Sunday we tell you, we invite you to write down what your prayer needs are. You know, often your prayer needs are for other people as well in your world. And you write it down. And what we do is we actually collect it all, we email, we type it up, and then it goes to our pastoral team. It goes to a Wednesday morning at 6 o'clock where there are a group of people who gather to pray because they have the burden to pray for others. They pray for you. They pray for the people in your world. And so 6 o'clock, if you want to be part of that and saying, you know, there's something more inside of me. I feel that God wants me to, my voice, to echo the voice of our world and bring it before God. And then at 8:30, our staff gathers and we pray into that. And then life groups pray into that. And I want to encourage you. If you're saying, I want to be part of that, you can actually get onto our webpage and you'll see there are prayer resources, pray first, 15 minutes with God. You can get into that. But we will, in a few weeks' time, we'll be putting these prayer requests. They're anonymous. There are no names on there. And you can say, you know what, I want to pray for the people in my spiritual community. Let me pray for our world. That's what God has called us to. That's our responsibility as followers of Jesus Christ. Prayer is showing up, whether you feel like it or not. It's just showing up. Say, God, I actually don't feel like talking to you today. Show up. Go sit in your chair or on your bed or wherever it is that you have your practice of prayer, your rituals, because that's what sustains us in prayer. And just go sit there. Even if you're bored and you're disinterested, I challenge you to go sit there. Seriously. And then just sit there and then say, God, you know what? I'm sitting here. I might as well tell you what's on my mind. Can I tell you how I'm feeling? And then just be quiet so that God can work with you. Don't keep talking. You'll be surprised. You will be so surprised. And then you do that again. And then do it again. Do it again. And just keep showing up. Make prayer a priority. Pray always. What does prayer, praying always means? Oh, we got to get into this formal way of praying. No. Just being so conscious and aware of what God's doing in your world. Because it's in that place of awareness that change and transformation happens. Not when we're unaware. Unaware that there's anger and offense and issues in our life. God can't bring transformation. But when we're aware and there's honesty, God, this is an area, then that's when transformation can happen. But so often we live our lives completely unaware and we look at everything, where was God even? But when we grow into that practice of becoming more aware as we prioritize prayer and we show up and we pray always. Oh man, I'll tell you, that's when things become, you keep short records because you think, oh my gosh. And then you begin to see your spiritual journey. Actually, I can remember holding on for anger for 2 years. Now it's just 2 months. And you see how there's a quicker response as you're in that place of prayer and the Holy Spirit speaks to you. Why do I struggle to pray? It's because perhaps these were some of the things that I spoke about. What I want to do right now is just to take a moment in our service, and we're going to pray. So I'm going to invite you to close your eyes. And then what I want you to do, just where you are, put everything down. This is between you and God. Just take a moment and tell God what is on your mind. Just where you are, just between you and God. Tell Him what's on your mind. Tell Him what's on your mind. Tell me, Lord, it's that horrible arguments we had just before we came to church. And then tell God what's in your heart. I'm angry. Frustrated. I'm bored. God, I'm not even interested. Lift that to God. Then I want you to hear that you're His loved one, that He will always love you. He'll never give up on you. You're His son, you're His daughter. He's seriously committed to you. Whether you show up or not, His heart is always for you. Be assured of that. And now just where you are, begin to thank Him just for one thing. One thing. Just thank Him. Amen. Do you know that you've just prayed? You lifted what was on your mind. You lifted what was in your heart. You were assured again that He's committed to you. And then you get thanks. That's praying. Our heart for you as the leaders of each church is seriously that you would grow in this area of prayer. It's what will ground you and steady you on your faith journey. Now, I want us to close our eyes for a minute longer because I want to speak to another group of folk who came into the room. So if you just take a moment, close your eyes. For some here this morning, there's an invitation that goes out to come follow Him. The God, Creator, and Savior of this world just extends to you an invitation to say, come on, it's for you I came to die. I left everyone to come and find you. Just where you are. And today I'm extending an invitation. Will you follow me? And it's as simple as saying yes. And if you're ready to take that step, I'm going to lead you in a prayer in a moment, but I'd love to acknowledge you and to pray with you. If you just raise your hand where you are and say, Bobby, that's me. I'm saying yes. I'm saying yes. Fantastic. God bless you. Anyone else who had some people in our first service, come and say yes. The best adventure that you'll go on, the best relationship, a relationship that'll take you into eternity. You may put your hand down. Will you pray this prayer after me? Dear Lord Jesus, I've gone my own way and today I'm saying yes to you. I recognize that I've tried to live my life my way, my terms, but today I'm surrendering to you. I receive you today as my Lord and my Savior. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Come on, I want us to give it up for God. And for those who have said yes to Him, we will do this at every service. I know some people are like, why do we do that? Well, we're celebrating with the rest of the angelic host because of one person. He left the 99 to go and find the one that was lost. If you prayed that prayer, that little white card that Daniel spoke about earlier, won't you take that out? Will you just take a moment to write?